Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Hey everybody, welcome back into another edition of the Financial Flight Plan Podcast with Bree Reyes and Tim Estes of Estes Financial Services. They are investor coaches and certified financial planners serving you here in the Metroplex from their office in Fort Worth. Find them online at estesfinancial.net. That is estesfinancial.net, and you can also check them out on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And anytime you have any questions or concerns, if you hear something useful in the podcast you'd like to have a conversation around, give them a call. Chat up Bree at 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402, and Bree, of course, is here with me. So how are you, dear?
Doing fabulous.
Well, that's always good. I like fabulous. Fabulous is a great way to start today. How have you been since the last time I talked to you?
Oh, busy as usual. I got to experience something this week that most people don't get to. It's a little wild, a little crazy, and it's part of the reason I wasn't in the office on Tuesday. Right. But I had an official in-lab sleep study done.
I've done this.
It's don't so you, much fun.
Didn't you look interesting with all that stuff hooked up to you?
I took photos.
Me too. It's
sent,
crazy, right?
I sent them to my family because isn't that what you do?
Yeah, exactly. That's what we do now. Oh my gosh.
So I don't know about you, but I have sleep apnea.
Oh, I was told I didn't, so I was very pleased.
Oh, see, that's lucky. I already knew it going in. Uh-huh. But they think I have something called hypersomnia, where I don't really get into good, restful sleep. I'll sleep for 7 hours, but right. I don't wake up feeling refreshed. I wake up feeling exhausted.
Gotcha. I'm not hitting that deep REM or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I have the watch and the Fitbit and all the fun electronic. I've tried all the electronic gadgets and they're all like, you fail at sleep. You're bad at this. Someone should help you. So I finally decided. And then when I had Nate, everybody's like, oh, it's because you have a baby. Mm-hmm. Now it's, oh, it's because you have a 2-year-old. No. I've had problems with sleep since high school. So we'll, you know, we'll let's officially do with this. And it was the weirdest, most bizarre thing ever.
It is strange, isn't it? Like, did you feel awkward because, you know, there's people on the other side of the glass, you know?
Mine weren't on the other side of the glass. They had a camera in the room.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think was almost more awkward because it was up in a corner and it was easy to forget that it was there.
Right.
Whereas at least if there was like a glass panel, I'd remember it. But now I understand why all these people on reality TV act like idiots because they forget the camera's there.
That's true.
I now understand it. I used to mock them and, you know, would say all kinds of horrible things, but I get it now. I'm sorry. Every reality TV star, I'm sorry. Because you forget it's there real quick.
Yeah.
And they attached, I don't know how many electrodes.
And you got that box on your chest. It looks like something out of Star Wars or something. Yeah.
Yes, and the 2 electrodes to each leg, like that's helpful.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, you do this test to make sure all the electrodes work, and you look up and down and left and right, and clench your jaw and cough and all these random things, and then you go to sleep for that night. And that night, I actually got a pretty good night's sleep. The mattress was comfortable. I took my own pillow. And it's around the block from my house, so they're like, anytime you want to come back, I was like, great. when can I come back? But then the next day they do this. I don't know if they did this with you. They did it with me. They do this, my own version of hell, which is this nap sleep study.
No, I didn't get that. Okay.
Okay. So this is my own version of hell because it takes me a long, long time to get to sleep. No matter how tired I am, it takes me a while to turn my brain off and to stop thinking about the 75,000 things that rattle around up there. And so what they would do is you had to stay awake for an hour and a half, and then they'd come in, we'd have to do the look left, look right, up and down, all the little test, and they'd let me lay down for 30 minutes. And the goal of that 30 minutes was to take a nap.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It takes me 30 minutes to fall asleep. So what would happen is I'd get right on the cusp of sleep, and then the lady'd open the door again and be like, okay, time to wake up. And then I had to be awake another hour and a half, and then I got to do a 30-minute meditation with my eyes closed. I mean, so of the 4 quote unquote naps I took during the day, I only actually got asleep twice that I think I did.
Interesting. Yeah, it's a strange process for sure. If you haven't had one done, it's definitely unique. I was like thinking to myself, I'm never going to fall asleep with all this stuff hooked up to me. I'm afraid to move and so on and so forth. But oddly enough, I did fall asleep okay, I guess. But I guess I was lucky because I didn't have the sleep apnea, which my wife said you could have knocked her over with a feather. She's like, as loud as you snore, there's no way.
But, well, I really want my husband to go get it done because he is a snorer.
Yeah.
He is. I love him. Joaquin, I love you dearly because I know you listen. But you snore, sweets. I've recorded it for you. You snore. The baby snores. The dog used to snore. Y'all snore.
Everybody does. A lot of people do. So, yeah. Well, there you go.
They don't believe me. They do. So now I'm just going to sign everybody up for it solely so I can get
the
blackmail photos.
Even the dog. Let's put the dog in there. That'd be great. Well, let's get into our podcast for this week and talk about some portfolio disasters that we maybe need to avoid. You know, it seems like, Bree, the last 2 years or so, our country's been inundated with just tons of natural disasters. It doesn't seem to discriminate on any part of the country, whether it's the South, whether it's the West with, you know, floods and mudslides and hurricanes and on the East Coast and of course, down in the Texas area. You know, just inundated. So I was thinking about it. Let's talk about a few, you know, portfolio type disasters that can kind of really come out of nowhere. A lot of times these do anyway, and can have catastrophic effects. So I got a couple of instances for you. For example, when someone loses a spouse, right? You're recently widowed or widower, and it's kind of coming out of the blue. And unfortunately, it happens more often than not. A lot of times couples, one person is way more in tune with the financial plans and situations than the other, and that's the person who passes, and now the other one's left kind of in the dark.
This was actually one of my first clients when I graduated college.
Oh, okay.
She came to me, and I'm going to keep the name anonymous to protect the innocent, of course, but came to me, and she was so financially in the dark that she didn't know how to write a check.
Oh, my.
Wow. No idea. She thought the number of checks were like cash. So if you had 12 checks in your checkbook, that's how much money you had.
Huh. Interesting.
So she had very quickly overdrawn her checking account because she'd write these checks for, you know, whatever amount and then not realize, not add those amounts up.
Right.
She wasn't keeping the ledger.
Right.
So we had to sit down and I had to teach her. Well, first of all, how to properly write a check. And second of all, how to use the ledger and keep track of how much money is in your account and that type of thing. I mean, no idea what they had, no idea how the money came into the account every month, no idea. And it really was a steep learning curve. And we do our best to hold everybody's hand and, you know, walk them through and teach them, but it just... When you're going through possibly the worst thing you go through in life, I mean, losing your loved one, losing your partner, losing your spouse, it's not a great time to learn how to balance a checkbook.
Yeah, or anything, really catch up on any of the, you know, the financial situations. You know, I know sometimes we talk about the fact that it's not everybody's cup of tea. Not everybody in the relationship wants to be, you know, into the nuts and bolts of the financial plan because maybe math's not their thing or money's not their thing or whatever the case is. But I think it's always a good idea for both parties to have at least a decent working knowledge so that when something like that does happen, you know who to call. You know some questions to ask just so that you're not completely in the dark because you are in an emotional place. The last thing you want to be thinking about is, am I going to make a wrong decision with some sort of financial thing?
Yeah, Tim and I've seen this so much in our careers that we actually don't meet with one part of the couple.
Mm, nice.
If you want to come in and sit down and work with us, we're going to need to see both of you.
Cool. Yeah. I think that's a really good way to do that. And that way you kind of avoid some of these situations. Well, that's one. So let's continue on with some more. You know, this market, Bree, this market that we're in at the time of this podcast taping, we are sitting at a little over 27,000, right? So I believe that's a new high, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. I have to take a look. But either way, it's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. It's been pretty volatile, obviously. We're into the 10 years plus of this run. And so it seems like this particular market run over the last 18 months, it seems like just when we think it's about ready to have a downturn and it has a really bad like December of 18, then January of 19th is way up. You know, May was bad of 19. And it seems like it doesn't quite crash. It keeps coming back up. But a market crash can come out of nowhere. And if it does and you're not prepared, that can be one of these portfolio disasters that might send you working longer than you planned. Or maybe if you had just hit retirement, pulling you out of retirement. And you certainly don't want to go that route.
No, and this is something you got to take a look at. You've got to really examine your risk when it comes to retirement and how it is your risk changed from when you were working, from that accumulation stage, when you were accumulating money and you were saving money and you had that regular paycheck coming in to, okay, now I'm retired. Can I handle the volatility of this market? Am I well invested? Do I have the right asset classes? Do I have diversification? Am I rebalancing? Do I have a consistent strategy to handle? Because the markets can go up, down, and sideways.
Right. And the only constant is they'll do one of them.
They'll do something.
Right.
And so you've got to be prepared for everything. And that comes in the diversification and how your portfolio is created and how, and to make sure that it matches your personal risk tolerance. Because everybody has different risk tolerances.
Right.
I mean, my husband and my risk tolerance are different. He's surprisingly riskier than I am. But that's how we work. We work together that way. We work really well that way. But he has a higher risk tolerance for risk than I do.
Well, and the risk tolerance also correlating with the time horizon that you're on too, right? So, you know, 10 years ago when we had the 08, you know, 11 years ago, if you were 45 and you lost a lot in 08, you could hang in there. That strategy of hang in there, it'll be back kind of thing would definitely apply. But now here 10 years later in 19 here, if you're 55, 56, now you're getting close to retirement age. Having another massive downturn like that would certainly not be ideal because you don't necessarily have as much time on your side. So you want to make sure that you're balancing, rebalancing, and having the right risk tolerance, risk allocation for the time of life that you're in. So again, that's another portfolio disaster that we don't want to have happen. And that's why we want to avoid these things by having a plan in place and working with someone who can kind of help us, you know, map these things out ahead of time so that we hopefully are in good shape should a disaster come out of nowhere. Another one, Bree, and this one is one I think that often happens that people don't think about it, they don't see it coming, and they certainly don't think about the after effects of it. And that is maybe the family legacy or even the spouse that is left behind, their retirement is shattered because of long-term care expenses. The person who's affected by it, they don't know, obviously. They're going to become oblivious to how it's destroying the portfolio because, you know, unfortunately, they've been in long-term care or they pass away or whatever, but it can really deplete that plan.
Oh, it can immensely. And the story that we use around here is Superman, Christopher Reeves.
Okay, right.
When Christopher Reeves got hurt, it was so financially devastating, all the rehab and the long-term care that he had to undergo, that they ran out of money. He and his wife and their family, they ran out of money. And he had to go to his college roommate from Juilliard.
Surprisingly, who was?
Robin Williams.
That's right.
And ask him for a loan. And thank God Robin Williams was as kind-hearted as he is or was and did help his friend out. But the idea of that, because Christopher Reeves was really, really young, sent Tim running looking for long-term care. And the thing is, as a child, as his child, I really appreciate the fact that dad and mom got a long-term care Cadillac plan at the time. I don't think that plan even exists anymore because it takes the pressure off me and my siblings for how are we going to take care of mom and dad? Because what we're seeing more and more is the high cost of long-term care, especially if you have any type of dementia. Take Alzheimer's, for example. Your body can be perfectly healthy while your mind is gone.
Yeah.
And so you can need long-term care for a lot longer than people would think. And it's terrifying. And it should be terrifying the children because we're the ones that are going to end up paying the cost.
Yeah.
Not necessarily our parents. So it's one of those situations where I think is super, super important, something to think about and something for you to think about, maybe not for you or to think about personally, but when you're thinking about it, think about your kids and think about how much $3,000 a month out of their budget to care for you would affect their family.
Oh, yeah. And that can be definitely devastating to families, especially if your kids are raising now your grandkids, that kind of situation. So you want to look out for these portfolio disasters. I think we can squeeze one more in here on today's podcast, Bree.
Ooh, okay. I've got one for us.
Okay. Hit me.
This is a very personal story.
Sure.
And so if I get a little emotional, I'm sorry. But older people being put into unsuitable, illiquid investments that hurt their portfolios and financially devastate their lives and cause them to be living only on Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say this is very personal is that was my grandfather. Mm-hmm. What happened was he and my grandmother, and my grandfather was a house painter in Houston. So a lot of hard work, hard physical work. Painting a house in Houston, by the time you get done, it's still wet because of the humidity. It's right, terrible. Right. They did it. And he had saved quite a bit of money. And he invested with a financial advisor who put them in an ill-suited investment for them. And Grandpa had to call Tim, had to call Dad, and admit that he had lost about 85% of their retirement.
Wow. That is definitely hard to come back from that.
And that's when Dad got interested in the business, solely so he could, basically, it was selfish reasons. He wanted to make sure that no one did that to him, and he wanted to see what he could do to help the situation with Grandpa and Grandma. And that's what started his passion and started basically the beginnings of Estes Financial Services. But it was so financially devastating to my grandparents that for the last, 10 years of his life? Yeah, I guess about so. Grandpa lived in a FEMA trailer. Now, Mom and Dad offered to have them live with him, live with them. They offered to give him an apartment. They offered to get him in a long-term care facility. They offered to buy him a house. But Grandpa's one of those greatest generation. I mean, he's a World War II veteran. And there was no way he was going to take money from Mom and Dad at all. And so Dad had access to his checking account, and every month money would magically appear. And it was kind of an unsaid thing between the two of them because we wanted to make sure he was taking care of himself and eating meat. And I would drive down from College Station to Houston and take him to the grocery store and spoil him when I was in college. So it was very different. Instead of the grandparent coming to town to spoil me, I was going to see him to spoil him.
Right. That's sweet.
And make sure he was eating because he only had Social Security. And it was because of that unscrupulous financial advisor and an ill-suited investment. It destroyed him. It destroyed them. It destroyed their dreams and their future. And it, from that, created Dad's and my passion to fight the bullies of Wall Street and to make sure we're taking care of our clients and to make sure that we're doing the right thing, that we're following our fiduciary duty. So that's kind of a personal story, and I apologize. I got a little teared up there, but my grandfather's very important to me, and I love him dearly.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. I think actually it's fantastic, you know, not the obviously the story, but the result got you guys involved. Now you're able to help others, you know, avoid those kinds of situations. And part of that comes in with working with people and having those, you know, and it's not always the easiest conversations to have around some of these things with finances, but it's incredibly important. And that's also some of the things you guys try to do with the different programs you do. Like last week, we talked about the federal assistance program with the for federal employees, and you do like a tax kit as well, right?
Right. We have a ticking tax time bomb retirement kit. Mm-hmm. And so in it, we've got a book, the Financial Flight Plan book. Of course, everything is aviation themed around here.
Right, right.
And it's seven lessons to save your retirement. Yeah, we're big fans. Mm-hmm. There's a CD in it and two different reports. There's the five risks that could destroy your retirement. And we have a tax special report in there, too, which is kind of interesting about the tax law changes. And also an investor awareness guide. So the value for this, it's got a $97 value, but we will send it out for free. No cost of shipping. No shipping and handling charge. If you give our office a call, 817-444-8402, and just ask for the retirement toolkit. Mention the podcast and we'll get it out to you.
All right, there you go. Get that retirement rescue toolkit from Bree and Tim here on the Financial Flight Plan podcast. 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402. All right, well, let's wrap up this week's podcast here real quick with our getting to know you and an email question. And our getting to know you, let's go, boy, where do I want to go this week? How about outside of what you do normally, Bree, outside the financial world, is there another area, you know, something you might consider yourself an expert in?
Ooh, this is interesting. Okay, so completely outside of finances, yep, away from divorce, away from all the stuff that I work.
Whatever you want it to be, right?
Not child rearing. I'm going to admit that I'm a novice there.
Underwater basket weaving, whatever it is,
no,
right?
No. Sewing, embroidery. Uh-oh. I really, really, really enjoy embroidery. And I usually have a project with me at the office for my lunch break that I will work on. My husband lovingly calls our house Santa's workshop because I've always got something that I'm working on for someone, and it's usually Christmas themed. Mm-hmm. But that's my downtown. I'm by all means not an expert in it, but it's something that I enjoy and I'd like to get to an expert level.
Okay. All right.
I'd also like to do that with cross stitch, but the back of my cross stitches look horrible and no, you can't see them.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say that's different than cross stitching. My mother-in-law does that, and I made the mistake one day of asking her that. I was like, "Oh, so you're cross stitching or whatever?" And she's like, "Oh no, honey." And then she told me a whole dissertation about the differences of the things. But yeah, okay, very cool. So embroidery, crocheting, all that good kind of stuff. Well, that's our getting to know you. Now let's see if we can help out this email question this week, and it is from Jay. And Jay says, "Bree, ever since I retired, I've had a really hard time spending my money. Something about not having that paycheck makes me nervous. Do I need a shrink?"
Well, I'm not a licensed therapist, but I play one on TV, Jay. maybe. A lot of people go into retirement. You're not alone, though. This is kind of a common theme. A lot of people go into retirement freaking out a little bit about not having that paycheck. But at the same time, Jay, you've worked hard, hopefully. I mean, I'm assuming you didn't retire at, 12. And so this is the chance to live the life that you've been wanting to live the life you've been thinking about why you've been working. And you need to go out and responsibly, hear that word, responsibly spend your money. Do the stuff that you've been wanting to do. And maybe if you can't afford the all expense paid, I don't know, African safari for 2 years or whatever, figure out a way to do those things within the budget, within your retirement budget. And seek a financial advisor. Talk to somebody and ask them how much you can spend. Yeah. Have a good retirement plan so that way you know, okay, yeah, I can spend this much money. I probably shouldn't buy a $2 million dream house, but I can spend this much money. And know that. If you know those numbers, part of our thing, and you're going to hear me say it here in a minute, is go out and lead an abundant life. And by leading an abundant life, what you are is you are the person you want to be. You're spending time with the people you want to spend time with. You're doing the things you want to do. That's a big one. Doing the things you want to do and making the change in the world that you want to make.
Yeah.
And doing the things you want to do and sometimes making that change could be donating money to the animal shelter. It could be doing a lot of different things involve money. So make sure you're living that abundant life.
Absolutely. Well, great question, Jay. And yeah, again, have that conversation with a financial advisor. Find out where you sit because you may, it is a gear change sometimes and people think, well, I don't want to spend too much and run out. But if you have a good plan and you know what you're looking at, you'll know what you can spend each month in retirement and be able to enjoy yourself from all those hardworking years. So as always here on the podcast, if you got some questions, need a little help, reach out to Bree and the team at Estes Financial Services, 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcast or Google Play or iHeart or Stitcher or whatever platform of choice it is that
Spotify,
you choose.
Spotify.
There you go. Thank you for that one as well. And with that, I'll say goodbye this week. Thanks for having me in again. I appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you next time, Bree.
Awesome. And everyone, go out and lead that abundant life.